Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, now joined by Ross Tucker. First off, Ross, Happy New Year.
Absolutely, Jim. Happy New Year to you as well. It's nice to have a New Year's Day bowl game to look forward to. I was not expecting that. I'm looking forward to waking up Saturday morning, probably a little bit hungover, and eating something and having a game to watch at noon. It's perfect.
That is the way to treat New Year's Day. Have a little bit too much to drink the night before and then settle in New Year's Day for a whole day of football. But, Ross, this Penn State team is going to look a whole lot different for this game, especially on defense. There's five starters on defense. Essentially, half the team has opted out. Your thoughts on the opt-out, not so much from the perspective of do the players have the right to do this. Of course they do. But what about the effect it's going to have on Penn State in this game itself?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different layers to this, Jim. This will probably be the whole segment because, to me, there's, number one, the individual player's decision. Number two, what it means for Penn State in this game. And then number three, what it says about college football in general. I mean, last I checked, Ohio State has four guys not playing in the Rose Bowl. Jim, the Rose Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, think about that. So I'll start with the individual player decisions. And, you know, I think, unlike fans, I am able to look at it differently because I played professionally for 7 years. And what I would tell you is, and I wrote this week on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL, that I would never fault any player, any college player that has pro aspirations, I would never fault them for doing what they believe is in their best interest. And for these guys, they clearly believe the reward of getting a chance to play one more college game and perhaps improving their draft stock and having a good performance and having fun and that whole thing, I think that they believe that that's not worth the risk of perhaps serious injury, even a minor injury that affects them in the pre-draft process, or performance risk. Maybe they go out there and play really badly because they're afraid of getting hurt. I think the further you get away from being a top 10 pick or a first round pick, I would say the less sense it probably makes to me. And I also think there's something to be said for the bowl you are in, etc. But if you're a first round pick and you've got tens of millions of dollars on the line, I totally get it. You get to be a day two pick. I understand it. It's still a lot of money. Day two pick, you're in a pretty good spot for NFL career. When you're a day three pick, like Ellis Brooks, I think it's a more interesting conversation because you can make the argument he already had a really good year. What's one more game going to do? But an injury could hurt him. And then the latest one was Derek Tangelo. And I texted a guy I know because I was just curious, Jim. And neither one of us is aware of any NFL team that has a draftable grade for Derek Tangelo, meaning he is an undrafted free agent. And again, he's played 5 or maybe even 6 years of college football. Did he take an extra year with COVID, I think? I mean, he might have been a six-year guy.
I know it has to be at least 5 years, so I believe he is taking advantage of the COVID season because I believe this is his last year of eligibility.
Yeah, so at any rate, I think he could think, you know what, I'm a run-stuffing D-tackle. Yes, I could play against Arkansas and stuff the run again, but I'm not really going to do anything better or worse than I've already done, and I don't want to get hurt. I want to try to have the best pro day and combine I can have. And I guess I really understand it if the guy's going to play in the Senior Bowl and they don't want to be hurt for that. But I think it's probably the risk-reward ratio is probably worth playing for those guys. It's probably how I would describe it. You know, have a big performance that pops off the tape. Go nuts. Have a great game. Probably worth the injury risk the lower you go down on the totem pole. So that's from the individual player perspective, I would say.
And that makes sense, Ross. And I think those, the players you mentioned, like Tangelo, who's, as you said, probably going to be an undrafted free agent. Why, you know, I would think he has more ability to help his stock than hurt it by playing in this game. But again, it's an individual decision. Let's look at this, though, college football in general. Penn State's going to be a different team in this bowl game than they were. You mentioned the Ohio State players sitting out even a big bowl game like the Rose Bowl. It's, you know, the one step below college football playoffs. Are you concerned at all for college football, even to the point of, hey, if this game isn't worth playing because they're not playing for anything, well, why didn't they sit out the Michigan State game? It really had no meaning on the season. And if you think about it, do you go a little bit further? After losing to Iowa and Illinois, why not stop playing then if you're, you know, Brisker, say? He's already solidified himself with his draft status. At what point will this stop?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a first-round pick or a top-10 pick stop in the middle of the year if they have a bad if the team doesn't have a chance to really do much. Or even if they have a minor injury. Nick Bosa kind of did that. He could have come back from his injury, and he declined. And I think that you're going to, you know, Christian McCaffrey sort of opened this up for the bowl games. And it's gotten progressively worse, or better, I suppose, on your perspective, with every passing year. I think we're not far away from a guy just sitting out the whole season. It might start with a guy doing it halfway through the year, but I think halfway through the year, people are concerned about how that would look. I think you're almost more likely, Jim, to have a guy that doesn't even play his last year. You know, a guy that has an unbelievable second year of college football and then thinks, why would I play another? It didn't hurt Ja'Marr Chase. It didn't hurt Micah Parsons. It didn't hurt some of these guys that opted out of their third year of college football. And I thought we might see more guys do that this year after what happened with Micah and Chase and some of these other opt-outs a year ago. That was because of COVID. These guys, nobody has done that. But I agree, Jim. I think we're going to get there at some point. So what can college football do about it? A few things. One is they need to expand the college football playoff because, to my knowledge, nobody playing in a college football playoff game has sat out yet. You know, the allure of being in the playoff and winning a national championship has caused more guys to keep playing. What's interesting to me about that, though, is let's say you expand it to 12 or 16. Well, then you're adding, you know, four more games for some of these guys. Do they really want to play four more games potentially before they get to their pot of gold? So that might be a mixed bag. I also think with NIL, They have to incentivize these guys to play. They're either going to have to incentivize these guys to play, Jim, or we all have to acknowledge that this is just the new normal and that these bowl games essentially become sort of just your first snapshot of the next season, of what the team will look like the next year for the most part.
I want to share a couple quick thoughts on this. A lot of people think this is the end of the bowl game structure. The interesting thing is, as much as fans are railing about, oh, I'm never going to watch again, well, they're lying because they are watching. The ratings have actually been very good for the bowl games. And my second thought, Ross, and I wanted to ask you about this. Remember years ago when players couldn't leave early? They had to be in school for 4 years. And when the rules changed and players were able to leave school before their senior year, many people thought the college football world was going to come to an end. How could that be? We're not used to that. But using your words, it became the new normal and everyone was okay with it. I guess what I'm saying is college football is strong enough to withstand players opting out of the bowl game and maybe even players skipping their last year of eligibility. People still root for Penn State because it's Penn State.
That's exactly right, Jim. They're rooting for the institution. They're rooting for the colors. They're rooting for whoever actually is representing them on that field that day. And you know why they watch the bowl games, Jim? Because they're on TV. Because it's the only football game on TV. You know? I mean, that's why they watch the bowl games. And the teams that win are happy and it makes them feel good. And the fans that lose, they literally say, well, we didn't have our guys playing anyway. And, you know, who cares? It doesn't really matter. It's almost better this way in the sense that you get the benefits of winning, but if you lose, you just kind of make an excuse and it doesn't bother you as much, which is interesting, really interesting. But yes, I think, you know, it also speaks to the whole NIL thing, Jim, which is how much value really is there in the name, image, and likeness of the player, and how much of the value is just because they happen to be the human being in that uniform, you know? It's not really Sean Clifford's name and image or likeness. It's whoever the starting quarterback is for Penn State. So a lot of that value is actually from, you know, the school itself that they've created. So anyway, I know we got to end the segment. Next segment, when we get to the questions, you got to ask me one about, you know, what it means for Penn State for this game.
I will do that first thing when we get to quarter number three, which is coming up right after this short break. I'll ask the first question, and then we're going to get to your questions when we ask Ross. Stay tuned for that.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.